Well, I could take the ukulele and sing my message today, I guess. You might not like what you were hearing, but... Well, is it... anybody been praying for rain? If you have, stop it. Or you're going to have to help me at the house push my house back up on the hill. We are having a wet time, and yes, the yards are a mess. But you're here. I'm glad to see you here. It would have been bad to be here and I'd just be the one that was here, me and Wanda. This morning we want to talk as we move along here about getting to that point where we're going to begin on the actual commandments. I want to talk about something today that all of us have experienced, at least. Those who name the name of Jesus at least understand something about what I'm going to share with you today. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, over to the book of John. Very small piece of scripture today. So let's look here and see John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, and then verse 26. Everybody there, say amen. All right, let's stand and read God's word out of our Bibles. John 14, verse 16 says, Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, and he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to you, your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word that you have saved for us that has been settled in heaven since eternity started. Lord, you are the author of the book. And we are grateful for you, to you for giving us the very breath of God. We pray this morning, Lord, as we look at the scripture, that you would lead and guide our hearts. May we be open to what thus saith the word of God. And may we understand today that each one who is born of God has someone to help. We are not left here alone. We're not by ourselves. But we have someone to help us. I pray that you'd open our hearts that we might receive that truth. And I pray, Lord, you'd anoint me today as I bring the message that from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, Lord, that you'd anoint me and use me today. I am worthless up here without you. I pray, Lord, that you would open my mind, my heart, my very spirit, that I might hear from heaven and that I might share what you are laying on my heart and in my mind. I pray that it would be used by the Holy Spirit to do the work that I know that you will have it do. Lord, I pray for the saving of souls. I pray for the church itself. The people of God, that we would wake up in the day we live in. Lord, that we might be the light of this world that you have left us to be. And may this world see you and you be glorified because we've been faithful. Bless the preaching of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. When you look at this small piece of scripture I read to you, we are going to be speaking, of course, as you can tell, we're going to be talking about a resource that we have from God. And that resource that we have comes in the form of a person. If you'll look at John 14, 16 and John 14, 26, you'll see there the pronoun of a masculine pronoun being used to describe who Jesus is talking about. The person Jesus is talking about is a person. It's not a thing. It's not an it. It's not some mystical power. It is a person. And his name is, in chapter 14, 26, says that he is the Holy Ghost. Now, I know that scares us. Most of us are afraid of ghosts anyway. But I just want to give you a little bit of statistics here. In the King James Version of the Bible, which many believe is as if it was the original language, the word Holy Ghost is used 180 times. Holy Spirit is used a magnificent amount of one. Someone will say, well, you know, what's the difference in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit? There is no difference. The word there that is translated both ghost and spirit is the word pneuma. And it can be either even the voice or the whisper of a breath is that word. It just means a breath of God. So the Holy Spirit is coming to us with the pneuma, the paraclete, which comes along beside us. And that is a person, not just some supernatural hero, if you would, or some supernatural force. It is a person, and we need to understand that. Now, in other versions of the Bible, such as the ESV, such as the NSB, and as well as the New American Standard, there's a little difference in how the word is used. Over 200 times the word Holy Spirit is used. Now, that's not a misuse of the word. It's not a misuse of the original language. It is just how they interpret it and what it meant. All right? And the word ghost or Holy Ghost is not mentioned, used, not even one time. So that's just a little, I wanted you to understand that whenever we talk about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, it is the same person. And so we need to understand. But we need to understand, too, that he is a person. And there's a key word in here whenever we read this. I want you to look at it in verse number 16. It says, Jesus saying, I shall give you another comforter. That word another is an important word. That word there just means one of the same. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to give unto you one of the same that you have already. In other words, what he's saying is he is the same as the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Godhead is made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or God the Holy Ghost. Every which word you want to use is fine. But they are three individual personage of God, but there is only one God. One God who has redeemed mankind to himself. When we look back through church history, we'll see and can see clearly the triunity of our God. Jesus said, I'm sending you another one that is equal. So there has to be some form of God in a way that we can understand how that all fits together with the Father. He said, I'm going to pray the Father. I'm going to pray to the Father. And that's the Son who is talking, Jesus. And he said, then I am going to send to you another comforter. So we see here all three working together in the unity that they might draw mankind back in that right relationship with God. And all through the scriptures, when you do a study on the Holy Ghost, you will see that he is working marvelously, even from the very beginning in chapter 1 of Genesis. You don't have to go far, and there he is working. Matter of fact, you don't have to go far, chapter 3, and it proclaims all three when he says, let us make man in our own image. So immediately, as the scriptures open, we find that there is a triunity, or trinity as we call it. That word is not actually found in the scriptures, but it is clearly proclaimed at every point when it talks about God, when it talks about creation, when it talks about God's love, when it talks about God's sustaining power, when it talks about anything, God's salvation, all of that, we see within it all three of those that are part of the Godhead. So when we look back, we see that. And we can see his leadership. We can see the call of God through that. We can see the power of God. We can see how he protects us. As I prayed earlier in the message, Mark's family, Mark Nash's family, lost a brother. And in that, I want you to know that the Bible says here that this comforter that he will send is a person of the Godhead. And that person, I prayed this morning with Mark, that person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit of God, would come and be one to lift them up and carry them through this time. And we can count on that. Because the Bible clearly says that we can see him, we can know him, and we can see how they have worked together with Israel. We can see how they're working together right now with mankind all over the world. There are those, even in other religions, if you would, that the Holy Spirit is working in their hearts and calling them from a false religion, bringing them out to the true faith of Jesus Christ, death on the cross, and Jesus Christ's redemption through his death, his resurrection. And the Holy Spirit is working in those hearts and in those lives of those even in different religions. Now, I'm not saying that he is authorizing that religion. I'm saying he's working to those that are even of other faiths, working to draw them to himself, because that's what he does. The Father himself draws. And just like us, when we come to know God in the forgiveness of sin, we were in our own religion. We had our own God. We had ourselves. And we wanted to do what we wanted to do. We didn't have no concern about God, about what his word was, or how he loved us, or what he had done. We had no concern about that until the Holy Spirit of God began to work in our hearts and begin to work in our lives and begin to draw us unto himself. And then, just like someone out of a pagan religion, listen, Abraham come out of a land of pagan religions. He was one that God looked at and said, there is the man that I'm going to give some potential to of being the father of every nation. And that's exactly what he's done. He has given him, the Bible says, more than what the sands of the sea are and the stars in the sky. And God done that with a man who come out of a pagan land. He done that for us. We come out of a pagan land. But yet he still loved us and cared for us in a very, very unique and special way. Aren't you glad that God loves us? Aren't you glad that he thought enough of us because of his love for us that he didn't leave us where we were at? I'm so glad that whenever we have heartaches and pains, I'm so glad that he can come along beside us. I'm so glad that whenever we think it's all over with, he'll come and put his arm around us and lift us up and say, I'm walking with you through this thing. And I guarantee you this, we can find joy even in sometimes the worst of circumstances we have ever been through. And I don't know of anything much worse to go through than a family member that you love deeply passing. We have been through that a number of times in our lives. And I do know this, that during that time when you think that it's impossible to make it through it, God comes along and he says, here it is. That's why we can understand that God has some resources. And this resources he has comes in the form of God Almighty. Comes in the form of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, how he comes to us. He is the Holy Ghost of God. And since the day of Pentecost until even now, we can see the work of God, the Spirit. He's working in the lives of the people of God. We can see him work whenever that person who has their life is all messed up. You ever seen someone whose life was completely messed up and all of a sudden they come to know the Lord because he's working in their life and he's drawing them and they come and make repent of their sins and he comes into their life and he completely remodels them and sends them completely in a different direction. You know why? Because that's a resource of God. God has the resources to take the worst that there is and make them like his son. That's marvelous, isn't it? That God can take a wretched sinner, someone who has rejected him completely, someone who has no care for him at all, and God can take that person and make that person like his son. Put in that heart of hatred, put in that heart love, that heart of selfishness, and put in there a generous heart. God can do marvelous things in the life of his people if we'll just wait and watch. But the Holy Spirit has revealed to us since he came on the day of Pentecost, and long before that as well, but on the day of Pentecost, he came and he took up residency. Listen, not just in like David or Moses or some of the other Old Testament saints and prophets. He came to dwell in every single believer. And when Jesus went away on that day of Pentecost, he came. And he has not left us since. And that's the good thing about him. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. And listen, when he comes to live within us, we have the resource of God to give us exactly the gift that he wants to give us. I'm glad that those gifts don't come by our choice, because we would choose maybe more of the things that are like us. But listen, the Holy Spirit gives to us gifts, and those gifts he gives us is not necessarily for us. You know who they're for? Everybody else but you. They're for everybody else. And if we do not use the gift of the Spirit, then we're living shallow Christian lives. I was reading a book, and that book was speaking of Bonhoeffer. And in that, I read in that little footnote of a quote from him, and it said, those people who are Christian, who do not have a systematic study of the Word of God of their own, they are not true evangelical Christians. God takes us and makes something out of us. And when we don't use that gift, how many of us has had the opportunity to share our story with someone and did not share it? How many of us have had the opportunity to teach someone or to be a disciple for someone, to be a teacher of someone who walks along with us, those guys that are new in this, and teach them how to follow Christ? How many times have we missed that because we did not take what God had given us through the Holy Spirit? And so what we want to do today, we want to talk about some of those resources that God has and what he does. Of course, the resource that I believe is more important than anything else we can have is the Holy Spirit of God. And every single person, listen, when a person bows their heart and they believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, because that is a gift of God, when we believe that, the Holy Spirit saves us. He baptizes us in the body of Christ. And there he puts his seal of salvation upon it. And the Bible says that seal will be there until the day of redemption. He is doing something within the life of a believer that man cannot do. And I know I was talking with someone the other day, just might have been yesterday or day before. And they were saying something like, well, you know, they think that the Christians, them Baptists believe Christians can, just so they get saved, you know, they can do anything they want to, live any way they want to. Well, let me tell you something. Here's my opinion about it. We can, all right? But my opinion is this. When we come to know Jesus, our wants changes. We don't want the same things we used to want. And we'll, just like we used to do the things that we want to do, when we are his children, we'll do the things that we want to do, and that is to please him. So yes, we can do what we want to do, but it's because we want to serve God. It's because we want to walk with him. Now listen, God's resource empowers us. Do you ever feel weak in your faith? Have you ever been where you wanted to give up? I had a pastor friend. Matter of fact, he was my pastor. Asked another person who now is a pastor. He said, have you ever wanted to give up? And the guy said, yes, you know I have wanted to give up a number of times. And he said, well, why didn't you just quit then? And he said one thing that made a lot of sense. He said, I can't quit. I can't quit. See, God gives us the resources for no matter what comes our way. He gives us and empowers us the ability. Although we are weak, and yes, we do sin, yes, we do fall short of the glory of God, none of us ever hit the mark to have the glory of God. We always have to depend on Jesus Christ. That's the only way. But he does empower us, and he empowers us by giving life. Did you know the Holy Spirit gives life? Let me read this to you right here out of Psalms. Psalms 104:30 says this, when you send forth your spirit, they are created. When you send forth your spirit, they are created. And listen to what Job said. Job said, if you should set his heart to take away and gather to himself, speaking of God, his spirit. Listen to what Job said. If God drawed back his spirit to himself, Job said this was what's going to happen. All flesh would perish together. If you ever pulled back your spirit, if you ever pulled back that which you are supplying to us, that life-giving source that we have of the Holy Spirit of God, if you ever pull back your spirit, man will not exist. Because here it testifies of him holding everything, giving life, and sustaining life. Paul said it this way, it is in Christ that we walk. It's in Christ that we move about. Everything that we are is in Christ. And outside of him, there is no life. Outside of him, I guess if you would, our body would blow apart. Because he is the sustainer. The giver of life and the sustainer of life. He is a God who loves us with an everlasting and an unchanging love. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, it's the Spirit that gives life. Just that simple. He gives us eternal life. He gives us life that we might walk in the power of God. He is the resource for all that we have. And the Bible says here, Jesus said, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So the Holy Spirit's source of power that we get from God is something that sustains us, something that holds us, something that supplies and meets our every need. Now, I don't know if y'all have any needs that you need to be met, but I can tell you, I have a lot. I have a lot that needs to be met. But I know this, that God is capable of doing all things that my life needs. Everything. And so if I could just learn to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Too often we leave the house, we take off, we get our coat now this time of year, get our coat off the rack and put him on the rack and leave. But we need him to be there for us because he is life. He is our source of life. He is our power of life. And no man comes to him except the Father draws him. I just wish we all could understand. I wish the whole world could understand this. That it is the Father who draws us to the Son. That man is so dead in our sins and trespasses that God is the one that has to shake us and wake us. He is the one who has to make us aware of his love. Outside of that, we can see no more of God's love than we can a man sitting on a stool on the planet of Jupiter. So, we have to understand that he is life-giving. Now, let me tell you how he gives us life. And I just mentioned it. The Bible says he quickens us. That word quicken just means he shakes us. It's like waking up someone. You ever done your child like that? Time for them to get up in the mornings. Or maybe to take and you get and you walk up real gently, you begin to rub them. Wake up, here's you. Wake up. Time to get up. Anybody ever done that? And you do it until you arouse them. You do it until you, and when you do that, they can hear what you're saying, they can understand what you're saying, they can see what you're showing them, and they can respond to whatever that is. That's the way we are. We land there dead. And the Holy Spirit comes and he begins to rub us and draw us and show us the Lord. He also empowers us for service. He empowers us for service. In other words, it's just simply, he has called us to a job. Like I said, he's given every one of us a gift. And that gift is for everybody else but us. It is so that the church might be built up, strong in the Lord, able, equipped to carry on the ministry. When we're all dead and gone, listen to me, who's going to carry on the ministry? Who's going to carry on the Word of God? Who's going to be the one that's sharing the Word of God? We are at a critical point in passing the baton to others, because we've never in the history of the church had so many church people growing up and does not believe that there's a God. We are at a critical point. Why is that? Have we not been relying on the source that God empowers us with so that we might be effective in the ministry that he's given us? What is the purpose? What is the reason of that? Well, only God knows, and only we know what we are doing. Because somehow or another, we can't take the time for God. Our time is too valuable. And I'm talking about church people. We get too caught up in the world and we have time for everything else but him. But he gives us the power to be witnesses. He's given us the power to be effective in ministry. The Bible says in Luke 4:18, says, "The Spirit of the Lord," Jesus speaking, "is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the liberty to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who oppress, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Listen, he's done the same thing for us. He's empowered us for the job he set for us. Everybody will not be teachers or preachers, but everybody can be a witness. Everybody might not be a person that has hospitality, but we can certainly be a person who supports. God has something for us to do. And if we're not doing it, guess what? If we're not doing it, nobody else is doing it. God's source, as well as empowering us, he purifies us. Aren't you glad that your life is changing from what it used to be? Our lives need to drastically change. And I believe they need to change drastically more than what we already have been. I think we need to become fanatics about Jesus. Why? We either believe it or we don't. Amen? Thank you, Chuck. We either believe it or we don't. And whenever we don't believe it, what we're doing, we're not only hurting ourselves, we're hurting others around us. We're hurting our children. We're hurting our grandchildren. We're hurting everybody. If we are not believing the account that God has given us, we are all in trouble. But God comes and he purifies us. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Have that mind. That we have to have a changing of our mind. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only he can change the thoughts of our mind and the process of our mind. Colossians 3:10 says, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. One of the primary works of the Holy Spirit is to purify us. That's called sanctification. All right? Now listen, there's some sanctification that takes place that God does it. God does it. And he does it at the time that we're born again. What that sanctification is, he has taken us and he sets apart unto him. There's some things called a progressive sanctification that we need to work on. Our habits, our thoughts, the process of way that we handle ourselves, that we need to move from being a worldly individual, going by the ways of the world, having a world's view of everything, and move along until we move into the place where we think like God does. You know, after 47 years of marriage, Wanda and I, we think a lot alike. There's things that we do. I don't have to ask her about it. I just know how she's going, what she's going to think about it, what she's going to say about it. And the same with her, with me. Sometimes she don't even have to ask me. She just can answer the question because she knows how I am. And that's the way it should be with the Spirit of God. We should have a relationship with God that just we bear witness of one another, because that's what he's doing in us. He's bearing witness in us. Now, listen to this. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. Let me ask you a question. How many of these things can you say that the Spirit of God is producing this fruit in you? And if we be honest with ourselves, we can see that there's times where we all need to be on our knees asking God to forgive us and to help us do this thing, because this things can really be split up. The first three, love, joy, and peace, we can say that's towards God. We need to love him, we need to find our joy in him, and we have to find our peace in him. So the first three things that the fruit's going to be is those things of God. And we can have those things in our life. We can have love, we can have joy, we can have peace. But then for listen, towards others, we need patience. We need kindness. Goodness is what we need towards others. There's no excuse, really, to treat anyone other than the way this scripture here says. We should be loving, understanding, and kind, knowing that, listen, at the, whatever reason they're thinking what they're thinking, we had the ability to think the same way. So we have to be careful. And then to ourselves, he says the fruit that he's going to produce in us, now this is just a breakdown of the way they run, is faithfulness. We need to be faithful. If we're not faithful in every aspect of the Christian faith, we're not faithful. We're being untrustworthy. Now think about that. So are we actually being faithful in everything? Gentleness, it says, and self-control. We need to have our bodies under subjection. We need to rule and reign our bodies, our mind, our spirit. We need to be able to be faithful to God, gentle to others, and gentle to ourselves. That should be a fruit that is bearing in all of us. and self-control. A lot of times we get out of control, don't we? But God has the resource to help purify us if we will just lean on Him and understand that we walk in the Spirit. On Wednesday night, we've learned that if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with God. So this morning, this is an important part of our Christian walk, of what God has for us. If we would just lean on Him and ask Him to help us, God will do that. And then another of God's resources through the Holy Spirit is that He reveals things. All right? The reusable resource reveals the evidence of God's presence in our life. Do you ever get to the place where you don't really feel His presence? Do you get to the place where you're not checked by the presence of God? So we do. We can find ourselves in that place. But here's the great thing. God gives us the power through the Holy Ghost that we can understand that we're His no matter what. Listen to these words. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now He which stables us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit. He has given us the promise of life eternal. And He's done it through the Spirit of God. And it works of the Holy Spirit is to save us through the act of God's grace, through the foolishness of preaching. The foolishness of preaching. You know, because a lot of times we don't understand what God wants out of our life. We don't know what direction to go in. But then He comes along. And somebody standing in a pulpit or sitting in a classroom or sitting face-to-face with someone else that are helping us walk in our faith or sitting across the table from one another at home. And God takes that resource and He speaks through that person into our life. And when He does that, He reveals things that are strengths, things that are weaknesses. He reveals to us things He wants us to do and the direction that He wants us to go in. That's the good thing about it. He is our guidance, if you would. He is the compass on our car. Matter of fact, I was going through the things on our car, and it said to set your compass, push the check button, and drive around in circles. I'm glad that we don't have to run in circles with God, aren't you? I'm glad that He's able, by His Spirit, to put in our hearts and in our minds a straight direction that don't vary to the left, don't vary to the right, but it's straight towards the cross of Christ and towards a life empowered by the Spirit of God. We don't have to run around like chickens with our heads cut off. We can just walk in the Spirit, and He will give guidance to us. And it's absolutely the gift of God. And the Holy Spirit has been directing people's lives ever since the day of Pentecost. There's times when He's spoken audibly. There's times when He's done it softly in our heart. I was sitting in a meeting the other day, and one of the guys asked the guy, you know, sometimes He speaks audibly to us. And I thought to myself, He sure does, don't He? That He makes it so clear. It's as if the voice of God you hear. And I really think you do hear it. I've heard it before. And I know it was Him. Because I was alone. And somebody gave me directions. Now listen, I ain't trying to be crazy or I ain't trying to be out here on the left field. I just believe the book. I ain't got no sense other than to believe the book. And the more I study it, the more I realize how little I know of it. We need the Spirit to reveal truth to us. And right now, we need the Spirit of God needs to fall upon the church and reveal to us the direction that the church needs to go in. And I'm not just talking about Victory. I'm talking about every church, because church is different now. Lives are different now. Homes are hurting, and we need God's direction. How do we do what you've called us to do? The Bible says, Jesus said, when he comes to us, he's going to teach us and lead us to all truth. He will never lie to us. He'll never lead us in a lie. He'll never speak a lie to us. And whatever he says, it's like putting the money in the bank. Because when he says it, it's as if it's already happened. You know, that's what God really does. Because the Bible says, before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was slain for us. Well, we know it wasn't until some 2,000 years ago that he was slain. But because God is God, and there is no time barriers with God, when he speaks it, it's because it's truth. And the truth of God will not ever be missed. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus was slain. But when God said it was done, it's as if it was already done. When God says he gives to us eternal life, it is done. It is done. Right there at that moment when we believe, and he gives to us. You know why? Because the Spirit is also called the Eternal Spirit. And he's eternal because God's eternal. And because we're in Christ, we're eternal. These bodies aren't, but we are. But one day these bodies are going to pick up out of that dirt. Mom used to tell me all the time, get out of that dirt, you muddy from your head to your feet. Get out of that mud. What are you doing out there? But one day, let me tell you, he's going to pick us up out of this miry mud that we're in, and we're going to have on shiny robes, and we're going to see the glory of God. And it's going to be wonderful. He'll reveal to us things that we've never dreamed possible. And then the last thing is God's Spirit gives unity. He creates unity all around us. That's the purpose, that we're supposed to be united in everything. Not only here, but in the church, other churches too. You ever been, I've been around people that I've only known just a few minutes and felt a complete kinship with because they were God's child. You ever notice that? Because we're so united together in him when we're around another Christian. Their spirit bears witness with us, and the Holy Spirit as a witness bears to us, and we can have communion as if we've always been together. You know, people talk about people that can talk, people that are real friendly. They say, "Yeah, he talked to me like he knew me, like he'd always known me." Well, that's the way it is whenever you're a child of God, because we might not know each other, but our Father knows all of us, and he brings his family together. So just wait on the Lord. Call upon his name. The Holy Ghost will produce the love of God in our heart. And in that love of God that he produces in our heart, we will be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Are you ready to do what he wants us to do? Are you ready to lean on God's resources, which is the Holy Spirit of God, and let him lead us to victory in Christ? Let's pray. Father, we